chapter number 23 this morning. Again, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. While we're doing that, look at your neighbor to your right and say, it's good to be in God's house this morning. Hey, and look to the one on the left and say, I like it better when he's home. Hey. Hey, it's good to be here. I'm excited. I hope you are. I'm excited to be in God's house this morning. Taylor didn't have a clue what I was going to be preaching on. Nobody had a clue. All this worked out because of God. And I believe in all that from Brother David telling me about folks being out of town. God knows exactly what he's doing. And I mean that. Turn with me to Luke 23. We're going to start our reading in the verse number 32. And we're going to read a little bit and skip over to verse number 44. If you found your place, I want you to shout, amen. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 32, it says, and there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now go with me to verse number 44. And it was about the sixth hour. And there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said thus, he gave up the ghost. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, this very morning, Lord, I pray, God, to this morning, God, that you hide me behind the cross at Calvary. God, I pray, Lord, that you, God, give me boldness this morning, God, confidence, God, and clarity. God, I pray for your people this morning. God, I pray that they come here seeking, God, and they'll find. God, I pray that they come this morning, God, with a hunger and a thirst after your word, God, seeking you above everything. God, may we seek you first, the kingdom of God, Lord, this morning. Father, help us this morning, God. I pray that if there be one lost in this place, God, that they be in the right relationship with you before they leave this place. God, I pray for the Christian to be encouraged. God, may we leave this place this morning different than the way in which we came. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. I want us this morning to take a trip back in time. We read this scripture, the play's getting to come up, and y'all going to see this scene take place in the play. What I read is it's Jesus sitting at Calvary. He's got, get this imagination in your mind in this vivid picture, Jesus being on the middle cross, and the two malefactors, and one on his right hand and one on his left. And you know the ones, you had the one that was evil and the one that was good. Dost not thou fear God, for thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, talking about Jesus, had done nothing amiss. And he turns and he looks at the Lord and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thine kingdom. And Jesus, y'all know what he said, on this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Get your mind this morning and your focus at the place of Calvary. I want us to go back to that hill just on the outskirts of the walls of Jerusalem. Go back to that hill, to where there stood on that hill three crosses, and there was one on each side of the middle. But that one in the middle, listen this morning, there was one on the middle that if you got to it, Brother Clint, that over there on the bottom, the grass maybe growed up around those other two, but that one in the middle, I just imagine that it was beat down to the dirt. And I can imagine that people had come to that place time and time again, just like today, that friend, that the Christian needs to be reminded, and we need to go to that place called Calvary. Well, what is Calvary? The place where Jesus found you and he found me. Amen. Friend, the place where the rich and the poor, the young and the old, friend, no matter the color, no matter the nationality, it's all in the short of light. Hey, the place, none other than that place of Calvary. We could spend all year talking about the things that happened at that place called Calvary. We could talk about those seven sayings. We could talk about those three malefactors. We could talk about Mary and when she come and John. And we could talk about all of those different things. And they'd be good. Amen. But if it hadn't not been for Calvary, where would we be, amen, this morning? Where would you and I be? Taylor sang in those songs about Calvary. And friend, where would we be had it not been for that place which is called Calvary? And see, in our text this morning, the Bible talks about, and when they had come to that place which is called Calvary. In Mark, you see, Mark and Matthew, you see where this place called Calvary, there it's mentioned as Golgotha, and the Aramaic meaning of that word, Golgotha, the place of the skull. And friend, can I tell you, this morning that place on the outskirts of that town was a place of stoning. People would be taken upon the outside of the city and the outside of the walls, and they would be killed, Brother Jamie. They would be stoned to death, friend, and these people, just like right here, people would be crucified, and this place was known as a place of death. The place called Calvary, the place of Golgotha. But can I tell you this morning that it ain't changed? It's still a place of death. It's still a place of death this morning. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, friend, at the cross of Calvary, guess what you and I have to do? We got to die to self. Amen. The Bible tells us to pick up our cross, to take up our cross and follow him daily. Friend, we've got to die to ourselves each and every day. Henceforth, the fact that the cross at Calvary is still a place of death. Amen. But I just want to go with you this morning to where God's got us this morning, and just kind of along these lines and along this thought on what Calvary's done for us. What Calvary's done for us. You see, we could go home. Listen to me. I'm not trying to beat you up. But we could go home and we could watch Hallmark movies. And Brother Jackie, we could tear up and we could cry. And we could have all of these emotions that stir up on the inside of us and bring out tears and bring out all of this stuff. These all types of emotions. And friend, ought not it to be stronger than the place in which the man, the Son of the living God, died for you and me? Friend, there ought to be something about this place this morning. Hey, this place called Calvary. Amen. And I just want us to look this morning at a few things that Calvary done for us. Friend, number one, I want us to look at it provided atonement of sin. It provided atonement for sin. You see, what happened back over there in Genesis, friend, is that there was God created everything perfect. God created everything the way that it was meant to be made. And he created it, and all of a sudden the fall of man, sin entered into the world, amen, by one man. And friend, all of a sudden that sin, you know what sin is? The definition is missing the mark, but what does it do between us and God? It provides a separation. And friend, when the atonement, what happened at Calvary during the death, we read in verses 44 through 46 to where Jesus commended his spirit to God. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he thus gave up the ghost, signifying that he died. What does that do for us for the atonement of sin? We have a separation. But now through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Almighty God, friend, what happened to that gap? All of a sudden that gap was bridged. Amen. You think about a drawbridge. When you get to those bridges, when they're up in the air, friend, there's a gap. You can't go across. You can't go across. They ain't no, hey, Brother Steve, there ain't no way to the other side. But friend, can I tell you, when he hung upon that cross and died on that cross at Calvary, that all of a sudden that gap was filled, friend, and we had a way to make it to the other side. It's not by what I've done, not by what you've done, but it's by what he done. Amen. 1 John chapter number 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Listen, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Not me, not the preacher, nobody. But he is the propitiation of our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He didn't die for just me. He didn't die for just you. He didn't stand in the gap for just me or you, but for everybody. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 8, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Brother Allen, Christ died for us. He bridged the gap between man and God. Friend, my God in heaven, hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, well, what do you mean through that? Well, friend, he made it to where we would be able to be called sons and daughters of God. Through that place of Calvary, that cross is representative of the middle cross at Calvary. Friend, may we never get over it. May we never get over it. The atonement for our sins through the death of Christ at Calvary, what did it do to us? I'm glad you asked. But through the atonement, we see the reconciliation that we have to God. For the wages of sin, Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, friend, through Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19, it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, listen to this, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto him the word of reconciliation. Hey, I'm glad for it. Amen. I'm glad that we can be reconciled unto God. Romans 5, 10 and verse 11. For if, when we were enemies, you see, when we were apart from God, we were enemies of God. When we were lost, we were enemies. If you're lost in this place this morning, you're an enemy of God. I hate to say it. Hey, everybody in this place at one time or another, maybe right now, friend, we were once enemies or still are enemies of God. But listen to what Paul writes. But we were enemies and were reconciled to God by what? The death of his son. Hallelujah. The death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved, not by his death, but by his life, that he continues to live. Amen. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. Hallelujah. Here we see the death reconciled to us, but also it brought forth our redemption. Woo! Anybody in here been redeemed by the blood of Jesus? Amen. I want you to know that, hey, that when he carried that cross, he wasn't just like you and I, just wearing a coat, but friend, everything was right in the back. But I want you to know that he was beaten beyond recognition. The cat of nine tails thrust on his back, ripping out flesh. And you, if you study that out, probably his innards were hanging out of him as he bore that cross and he began to carry that cross. My, what the weight of the world that was upon his shoulders, friend, was upon him. And that wood on that cross began to eat in that back, friend. Can I tell you that we've been reconciled, but we've also been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen, and I'm glad of it, friend. I'm glad that I've been redeamed. What about y'all? Amen, amen. Glory. the redemption by the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 20. For ye are bought with a price. You and I are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are not yours, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7, 23, we see this same thing brought forth yet again. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Amen. Redemption, what does it mean to redeem? What does it mean to be redeemed? To get back what you already paid for. Friend, to get back what you've already paid for, to be repurchased or to win back. Friend, the price was paid in blood at Calvary. What was it for? To take back that which you already bought. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all, but it feels pretty good in here. Amen. John 8 and 36. If the Son therefore shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. It ain't by what you and I've done. It ain't by anything that nobody else has done, but it's by what he done at that place called Calvary on the outskirts there of Jerusalem. On that place that was done, what it done for us, it provided atonement for sin. But I want us to see this, and this is your shouting part. Y'all ready? You ready back there, brother? Oh, but friend, not only did it provide atonement for sin, and I love that, hey, that we can be brought back into the family of God by the blood of Jesus, amen. But not only did it provide atonement for sin, but it provided access to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 27, verse 50 and 51. Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, we're going to explain this. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. You say, what does it mean to have access? By means of approaching or entering in to a certain place. Amen. I'm glad of it. You say, what do you mean with that veil, preacher? Well, when that veil was the sheet of yarn and the fine linen that was twained together that separated the holy place from the most holy place, and the only one allowed, oh God, glory, the only one allowed in that place was the high priest. And he would go in there, Brother David, once a year at the Day of Atonement. My God. Hey, y'all just gonna have to just bear with me because I love it. I'm telling you. And he would go in there and he would provide those sacrifices and do all of those prayers and do all of those things. And he was the only one at the time that could do it. But friend, when that thing got ripped, when that thing got torn from the very top to the very bottom, you know what it provided for you and I, Brother Jackie? It provided access to the Father. Amen. And I love it. Amen. It provided access. And it wasn't because of us. It was because of what Jesus did on Calvary. You see, it's symbolic at Calvary that the veil being rent. Born-again believers, now we have access to the Father. Amen. The tearing from the top to the bottom marked the end of sacrifices, because the sacrifice that was sufficient had now been made. Friend, you go back to the book of Genesis and you see to where Abraham is taking up his son Isaac, and he's taking him up to that mountain, and he tells everybody to stay, the young lad, stay right here. Stay right here. We're going to go yonder and worship. And he takes the lad and he goes up, and Isaac asks the question, Father, I see the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? And friend, he said, God will provide. And friend, on that day, as he gathered up the wood for the altar and laid his son there on it, he took the knife. Get this picture now. He took the knife and was about to slay his only son, the obedience that Abraham had to the Father, about to kill his only son. But all of a sudden, Looked over there and there's a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. You know why it wasn't a lamb? Bless God. Hallelujah. Because the lamb was yet to come. Amen. The lamb of God, the perfect, the spotless lamb that had to be slain for you and I, Brother Skip, to have access to the throne of God. Amen. Not by what we done, but by what he did. Amen. I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. Hey, we have access to the Father through prayer. We talk to him, amen. We go forth before him in our petitions and give him everything that troubles us, Brother Jamie. Things that we have that burden the weight on us. But all of a sudden when we can't lift them, when we come down to these old-fashioned altars and we bow our heads and we seek God's face, you know what just happens? All of a sudden the righteous and the powerful right hand of God reaches down and lifts up that burden that you and I carry. Lifts the weight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I. He didn't say the preacher. He didn't say the priest. He said, and I will give you rest. Amen, and I'm glad of it. Amen. But not only do we see that we have access through prayer, but now we have access not only through prayer, but now we're able to be partakers. Woo! We're able to be partakers of that. Ephesians 3 and 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Hebrews 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. In that same book, Hebrews chapter 3, if you go down to verse number 14, for we are made partakers of Christ. Amen. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers. My God, I'm glad I'm not a stranger no more. Hey, listen to it. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers, child of God, listen, and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Amen. Friend, what's that mean? Well, I know that on that day when the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, Daddy, I'm going to call you Daddy, but all of a sudden we'll be able to slide our chair. You know what we'll be able to do? We'll be able to slide that chair and be seated at the table. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We'll be able to be seated there amongst everybody else. Amen. In heaven, my God. In heaven. I'm glad to have access. I'm glad to be able to have access to God. Amen. But lastly, well, I do got this. This is a warning. Let me go back. Because I can't say all that good stuff without saying this. That we have access in being partakers in prayer. Go back to the prayer. But I believe that there must be a warning given in prayer. Okay? Listen to what I'm about to say. John 9 and 31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. You see, there's a warning given that not all people have access. Not everybody's got access. God hears it. The Bible says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a worshiper, if you're not made a profession of faith, God doesn't hear you. And I know that's hard to hear. A loving God wouldn't hear us, but that's his word, and we got to abide by it. Amen. But not only, I done got all mixed up in my notes now. But not only do we have the atonement of sins and the access to the Father, but lastly, I want us to see this. That through the things done at Calvary, what Calvary done for us is we've been provided assurance. We've been provided assurance, a promise, a declaration, a good declaration is what we've been promised. We've been provided assurance. Assurance of what? You see, friend, this is, and Taylor, you can come up here and they can do whatever you've got to do. I won't be long here. But I want you to know that what would it be like if we was to wander around this whole world and not know whether we're right with Jesus? Or whether the child of God is going to heaven. You see, there's some religions out there that believe that they don't know. They don't know. And could I say this morning at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, there's some people in here that don't know. That you don't have that assurance of salvation. But I can give you some encouragement that you can today. Amen. 1 John 5:13. John writes this to the people of God, to the born-again believers. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, friend. That believe on the name of the Son of God. John 3 and verse number 16. Y'all gonna quote it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In closing this morning, I just want us to take a look back at Calvary. You see, friend, you and I are to never go too many days that we get so distracted, and I'm talking to the Christian now, that we get so distracted with the things of the world and so burdened down that we can't look back to the place to where Jesus Christ found us. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, if he found us, see, we didn't find him, he found us. Because if we found him, that would mean he was lost, Brother Benji. But he found me. He found you. He found us. And we ought to not go no amount of time before we take that look back at where God's brought us from or what God's done for us. And go back specifically. I don't know if it's here. I don't know if it's over there. But go back to that place specifically to your Calvary, speaking spiritually, to where you knelt at an altar and bowed before that place which was level for everybody. And Christ Jesus came into your heart. And friend, can I tell you this, that if you're lost in this place this morning, I want you to know that you've got a place at Calvary too. Because if he saved me, he can save you. If he saved me, I promise you, he can save you. As worthless, as beat down, as full of the world as I was, yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the whosoever. I was a whosoever, July the 22nd, 2012. I was a whosoever. And friend, can I tell you on this day that you can be too. You can receive the atonement, the access, and the assurance this morning, not at the feet of the preacher, not at the foot of Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, but at the feet of Jesus. John 14:6. And I'm done. I just told you what he done at Calvary for you. He hung upon a cross, was crucified between two malefactors, two thieves. That word malefactor talks about how they had to be constrained or restrained. And friend, he's sitting in the middle of them. He who knew no sin became sin for us. While we were full of it, while we were full of sin, full of this world, Christ died, Brother Al, for you and for me. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But Jesus said this in John 14 and verse number 6. He says that I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That bridge gap is him. The only way that you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus. As we stand to our feet,